Welcome to Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel, where you will learn everything you always wanted to know about real estate, Katie, and life in general, and possibly some things you might not have even thought of. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network, now here's your host, Vicki Wachtel. Good morning, and I'm totally by myself here this morning. Jennifer left the house 25 minutes ago and hasn't made it to the office, so this is my greatest fear. I'm live on the air with no one to talk to. So, anyway, if anybody out there want to call me and talk to me, the number is 347-989-1363. Send me questions on Facebook. You can go directly to my Facebook, Vicki Wachtel, V-I-C-K-E-Y-W-A-C-H-T-E-L, to ask questions, or you can go to the fan page at Fast Talk and ask questions there. And give me something to talk about because, you know, I don't mind answering. I can talk forever if somebody asks me a question. It's when I'm trying to do it on my own that I have a little bit of a problem. But I have to tell you that, first of all, what was the weekend like and what's the weather like? Oh, my God. This is weird. I mean, we're just getting down into the 50s at night and then 70s during the day in April in Houston. That's not normal. My husband, Norman, who left Saturday to go to Norway, and, you know, everybody knows Norway is going to be cold. It's in the high 40s over there. We're in the 50s here. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, anyway, Jennifer's walking indoors. Thank God. So, anyway, the weather is dreary, cloudy, misty, not very exciting. And you think of Easter's on the way, and you think of really pretty days, and it's just not happening. So, over the weekend, there's a stomach bug going around. I kind of had it yesterday. So I kind of stayed home and got to watch the, Jennifer, get in here.
Morning.
Oh, my God, girl. Don't leave me on the air by myself. Like I can talk to you, but I can't talk to a wall.
I'm so sorry.
25 minutes to get here? Where did you stop?
My daughter missed the bus this morning. I had to go through parent drop off.
Oh,
you know, the nightmare line at the elementary schools for the
I know. I get stuck in that coming out of my neighborhood, and I'm sitting there for 5 minutes because those mothers are greedy about their spot. They get their spot in line at the school, and they keep that spot all the way home.
Yes.
And so you can't cut in.
You can't get in, and if you're not in the habit, like you said, I swear they recognize the cars, and they'll let this person in, but they won't let you in.
Exactly. Kind of like when you're back in school in line at the cafeteria. If your friend's up there, you can cut in and say, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, no, exactly. No. So sorry, y'all, I am late.
That's okay. I was just talking about the weather and how nasty it's been. And I'm so ready for some spring.
I am too. Sleeveless going on, and it's cold out there. I don't know what I was thinking.
I didn't, you know, we had the AC kicked on at the house. So, you know, we have the newer construction. So your AC on the inside doesn't know what's happening on the outside. So it's 56 degrees outside, and the AC is running on the inside to keep it at 74.
Right.
It's just crazy. It
freezes you.
But this morning, I guess it figured out sometime during the night that it was not going to get hot in the house, and I got this morning it was 70. I was like, whoa. Did I turn it down too low on the AC? And it's like, no, it's not. It's still a 774. It's like, well, that was a nice surprise not to have to get up and sweat when you're putting on your makeup because
right.
It's 70 in the bathroom instead of 78 with the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that I was talking about how Norm's in Norway and the weather over there's in the high 40s and here it is in the 50s here, and that's Norway and we're Houston. I don't like it. I don't like it. But there's a lot of things I don't like today, Jennifer. And, I try to be positive, and I'm positive today. I'm a little pissed off.
About what?
Property taxes.
That's a good reason.
Did you get
off.
Your sheet yet on your house?
No, but I didn't check my mail on Saturday. So it's probably sitting there as a nice surprise.
Well, this morning as I was going through my emails, you know, I get these emails from LinkedIn, and HAR, Houston Association of Realtors, has their own little LinkedIn on there, and there was a spot on there that says it was good while it lasted, and it's an article from the Houston Business Journal talking about how Harris County, across the board, people raised the single family homes 16%.
Oh, I posted that on my Facebook about a week ago.
Yeah, 16% across the board.
Mm-hmm.
because property the market has changed a little bit, and people are getting more money when they sell their house. So let's punish the people who aren't selling.
Right. Which it totally does. And then there, on top of this, there's a whole other aspect to people that own more than one home.
Yeah.
And their whole tax structures, you know, regarding their home is going to change also in this next IRS year. On top of this,
they,
higher
yeah,
tax
I need
rate
to look back
their,
into that too because, you know, we have investment properties, and we got five of my investment properties. The values were right at, some were right at 100 to 105.
Mm-hmm.
They're now at 125 to 130 in 1 year. And I ran the comps. If I could sell those and get that kind of money out of it, I'd do it. But I can't because the comps put it back at 108 to 110. But they and forever since I've been in real estate, if you're talking to a buyer and the buyer's pulled up the tax records on the house they're interested in, and the house is listed at 140, but the tax say it's only 116, they only want to pay 116 because that's the tax value. And we've had to argue with buyers from the beginning, saying you can't value a house by the tax values. The taxes are always much lower than what the actual value, the market value is for the property.
Right.
Now we're going to have to go back and say, seller, just because the taxes say your house is worth 125, it's only worth 108. And it won't appraise for more than 108.
Yeah.
How are we going to pull that one off?
I don't know. They're going to think we were fibbing before.
You know, exactly. We're it's one of those damned if you do and damned if you don't things because it's like you're not being honest with me because the tax man says, and I'm paying taxes on 125, so don't you tell me I can only get 108 out of my house. Get out of my house. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about this. I'm very upset about this because I sit down and said those five houses are going to cost me $600 more a year, total in taxes. I'm going to pay $600 more a year for property taxes based on values that are not real.
Well, and people can fight it, but it's getting people to get together.
Okay, can you
fight
see
it.
How many people we got in Harris County that own properties, you think?
Oh, goodness. Just in Harris County? I don't know. I know, like, what? A
couple million?
Yeah, probably.
And,
I looked, it was like 2.5 million.
Now, you have the right to fight it.
Yeah.
And I am a tax arbitrator, property tax arbitrator. You have the right to go down and say, I don't agree with this. You have the piece of paper you fill out and say, I don't agree with this. If you still can't get them to do what you want them to do or kind of be realistic about it, you can't say, I want arbitration. And they have to let you do it.
Right.
Okay? So they have to let you do arbitration. If you got a million people saying they want to do arbitration, I'm thinking I need to get into Harris. I was signed up in Fort Bend, but I think I'm going to sign up in Harris County because I can be really busy doing arbitration for a million people. And you know there's like, what, 3-4 million? I don't even know how many.
Well, and they're limited to only raising it 10%.
That's it. They're limited to 10. How are they doing that? The state law is that they can only raise it 10% per year, and they honestly said, oh, no, we're going to raise it 16%.
And that's where I'm lost, and I need to do some research because I'm with you. I don't understand how they could do that.
Yeah.
I thought it was state law of 10% flat, you know.
It says it right in the article. It's 10%. They can't. The state law is the 10%. They can't raise it more than 10%, and yet Harris County – and for apartments, they're raising 22% for apartments. For somebody who owns an apartment is now going to be paying 22% more in taxes. And I'm thinking, okay.
Which means they're going to have to go back and raise everybody's rent to meet that need. They're not going to be able to pay
20%. And have you
20%.
Looked at the prices for apartments lately?
It's already insane.
It is insane.
It's
I was just talking
people
to
out of a house.
I was talking to Tony before we got on the air that and this is the weirdest place where you can actually lease a single-family home cheaper than you can an apartment. If you go to get a three-bedroom family home in the Katy area, the market value right now, the market average is about $1,400.
Right.
But to rent a three-bedroom in the area, I'd have to do some more checking, but I think it's like $1,600, $1,700.
Last time I looked for one for a client, it was $1,750.
Yeah.
And I mean, and we're talking
apartments
about
more expensive
and
than
the square footage. They're building apartments now, and the ones in Katy, for the most part, are newer. They're building them smaller because it's a modern, contemporary look. So it's not even like they're getting more square footage for their more money.
No, and I need to double check on this. But Tony said it's running $1 a square foot for apartment. $1 a square foot. I can't get $1 a square foot out of my houses. No. I mean, if I could, I'd be thrilled. I wouldn't mind so much the extra taxes because I'd make it up in the rent. Right. But I'm not able to do that. Mm-hmm. And for the last, I would say the last 6 to 8 months, the rentals in the Katy area had leveled out. They're not, they were going gung-ho there for the last couple of years. They went from in like Memorial Park, or West Memorial, where I have two properties over there. When I bought those houses, one 3 years ago, one 4 years old, they were $1,100 a month to lease. And now they're $1,300 a month to lease. So in 2 to 3 years, that's $200 a month difference. That's good. But I can't get more than that now. That's if they're capped out. So.
Well, and it's not like people's income is rising to meet this now need either.
No, and that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So what are we trying to do? It's like the economy is finally picking up where people actually feel a little bit better about themselves, although they still do not have minimum salary raises.
Right.
What is it called? Minimum wage raise. What is it, like 7 1/4 now?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, which who could live on that? And in fact, my granddaughter came home and she says, you know, I'm getting a job and I'm going to be making $9.50 an hour, and so I think I'm going to go ahead and get me an apartment and move out.
You can get the apartment, but you're still going to be eating here. You're not going to have a table.
I'm kidding. I told her, I said, okay, baby, let's round it up to $10 an hour. And how many hours are you going to get in? She goes, well, they told me I could get in about 35. I said, 35.
Because they don't want to pay insurance for her.
Exactly. So 35, that's $350 a week.
Uh-huh.
You know, so what does that work out to? $1,400 a month before they take any taxes out. And if they're taking 20% taxes, I don't know what they take out on the kids that don't have any.
Make under $11,000 a year, it's still, I think the number's still $11,000 a year. They don't have to pay.
They'll take it out.
She can get it back. But
right.
She won't have to pay any income tax.
But they'll still take it out, and she gets it back at the end of the year. So if she can walk home with $1,000 a month, where are you going to live for $1,000 a month? And I told her, I said, you know,
hey,
first
Grandma,
of all, you got.
That's where she's going to live. You're Nana, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a Nana. And so you got $100 a month car payment. Mm-hmm. You can figure on at least $50 a week in gas because it's not right here in town. Then, you know, and do you plan on eating? I mean, I know she didn't eat much of ramen noodles is what she was eating in college. So, you know, it's like if you really like ramen noodles, then I'd suggest you go to Sam's account so you can get it cheaper.
Right.
And there's no way. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And so back on the taxes, if that's $9.50 now, that's not minimum wage. But say she was making $10 an hour, which, you know, when I first started working, I was working for 35 cents an hour, so $10 sounds like a lot of money. But I wasn't paying any bills at 35 cents an hour. So,
and your tax rate was much less.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Social Security wasn't killing you then.
But what I worry about is the people that are on a fixed income, and all of a sudden now their taxes have been raised, even if it's only the 16%. What are they going to do? I don't mind that the taxes go up. I really don't mind if they go up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because yes, everything else has gone up, and yes, for the most part, most of us are in a little bit of better shape than we were. But what about the ones who aren't? And why are we punishing them? Because these guys over here made a bunch of money selling their houses because the property values went up. I mean, the market values went up, and they sold their houses. They made money. But those of us who didn't sell, we didn't make any money.
You're still looking at the same.
And my salary is the same. I mean, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you punish the people who did nothing? But.
Well, and odds are these people that sold these houses and made this money on it also put some money into it to do that, to be able to get the higher price. And you know these people didn't improve their homes at the same rate. So this house wouldn't appraise for what their neighbor three doors down did.
So I'm suggesting that every realtor out there, if you're listening to us, go get your arbitration certification, because you could be making a ton of money just doing that. Because I think arbitration, you get paid like $300 or $400 for each one. So,
well, I may be doing that.
I'm telling you, I think it's a good idea because I think everybody ought to fight it.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to fight it. All right, we've got to take a break now. It is time. If you want to get in on this conversation, 347-989-1363. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
And we're back. I was just looking to see if I could find out how to get the classes going again to get the arbitration. So what did you do this weekend?
I held an open house. And it was a beautiful home in Firethorn. And it's in a neighborhood that's still developing. So we had a lot of questions that, you know, would have probably been better answered at the Model Home Center. But because the traffic was an overflow from there, too. People shopping for homes, of course, go to the Model Home Center, and then they saw our signs, and then they came and walked an actual home that's already existing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to ask us about homes that we're not standing in, you know.
Yeah.
And we've done all our research
with a name tag on, so you know everything.
I know everything. So we tried to help, but really, you know, we were there to show this beautiful home, and this is all the research we've done, you know, on the comps and mm-hmm. the listings in the area and, you know, the prices and such as that. But it was actually a very good learning experience, because now the next time I hold an open house in a community that's still developing, I might hit the Model Home Center myself.
That's actually a very good idea.
Yeah, to learn a little bit more.
You know, something else you might want to do is, when you do something like that, invite one of the off-duty sales reps.
That's true.
And see if they want to come sit with you to answer questions about the neighborhood.
That's true. That's
a good
idea.
Give somebody to talk to, too.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nobody there. Yeah.
When you're just hearing your voice echo through the empty house.
Yeah. Kind of like me this morning when you were late.
I know. I'm sorry.
So I went to a tiny little panic attack. Tiny little, because I was like, I was ready to go on this tax thing. I was like, man, I need somebody to bounce that off of.
No, that is frustrating, too, and it's just, yeah, they didn't make our jobs any easier.
But now we will be able to be a little bit more diversified.
Exactly.
And now we have a marketing tool. Because we can send out emails and letters to everybody in Harris County and say, don't like your taxes, call me.
Yeah.
We can do comps for you. You want to list it? Since the tax man says it's worth so much, you want to list it now? Let's see if we can get it.
Yeah, let's see if we can get some inventory turnover.
Yeah. But seriously, there is some opportunity there for marketing.
And there's some opportunity for people that really do need to downsize or upsize or whatever. And it's going to help. We get buyers going through houses that just depend on that tax survey, too. And sometimes, you know, we're showing a house that's so far above the tax, they don't believe us either.
Right.
So on that end, it's going to help. But I still don't understand how they can go over 10%. But
That's a good one for me, and I think that's something that we need to get in touch with TAR and see, okay, are you asking that question? Because, you know, we have lobbyists that are down there for the state. Mm-hmm. And HAR, are you asking the questions to all those politicians and stuff and people that are involved with the city management? Are you asking that question? How can you do this?
Right.
How can this be legal? That's a good question.
Yeah.
We need to ask y'all out there listening, go ask that question. They get enough people asking questions, we maybe do something about this. Because this is, you can't just arbitrarily just raise everybody's taxes 17%. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even 10% would be pushing it. To me, they put a limit on 10% because it's like, okay, guys, you can't get carried away here.
Right. Because who can afford that much of a jump in 1 year?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they give you a year to pay it.
I mean, think about that. At 10%, if you're in a 3.6 tax market. I mean, you're where you're at, your taxes, and you're at three. Now, granted, it's only on the county taxes. It's on the, you know, for the medical services and things like that. It's not
right.
on the school taxes, I hope.
Well, I'll tell
that's you a separate tax. That's a separate tax. I'm thinking if that's just on that Harris County thing, then I got more than 25% added to mine.
Right.
But if you took and did that at 10%, if it's a $100,000 house, that's another $1,000 a year in taxes.
Yeah.
My house.
Yeah, I'm scared to look at my bill now. And my house is probably half what yours.
We may be putting it on the market.
Yeah.
And the taxes alone could cause me to sell my house. The taxes alone. Because the last time we market value for my house right now is probably about, I don't know, maybe $550,000 market value, but I could probably easily get $500,000 out of it. And then you figure that if the 10% added to that, that's another $5,000 a year. I'm already paying $12,000 a year. Now I'm going to be at $17,000 a year in taxes on that house. I'll put it on the market.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. I'll sell it.
Why?
I'll buy the little house we're looking at for our office and move into that one.
Well, it has two kitchens. You could separate everybody else out of the water.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that now we're talking about the move in the office, and I don't remember, did we talk about this on the
election? I don't think we've talked about
it. Okay, we've been talking about moving the office because our building's for sale. And I don't want to buy it, so we can lease it until we get a buyer, and then I actually am at a lease till September. So if somebody buys it between now and September, they still have to honor my lease. But we've been actively looking for something. The first house, the first place I found was, oh, let's face it, it was a dump. But like I told my mom, I just love a challenge, and I honestly believe I can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And I honestly believe that I could have made that place into something really good. It would take a lot of money,
yeah.
But I could have done it. And the rental was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. Location was okay. It was really close to Shipley's. So, but then the parking was an issue. So
yeah.
So we got declined on that one. I didn't pull out. They did. And because they just didn't want to disturb their other tenants, which really kind of, it's like, oh, it pays that if you're the first one there, you get to take most of the parking lot, and then everybody else can, you know, tough.
Yeah.
You only get three spots. So that didn't work out.
Well, good luck in leasing a commercial space with no parking.
Exactly.
I mean,
I don't know what they're going to do with it. And so then the second one was great parking. Decent location on Mason Road, and we were all excited about it. It was a doctor's office before me, and it needed a lot of work. It would have taken a lot of, I mean, paint alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was big.
Yeah.
But paint alone was going to eat me up. But, I had some great ideas for that building, and I had it all lined out, and then it took a week to get me the actual lease to me. Now, I don't know if you people out there have ever taken and tried to lease something from a strip center. Those people are insane. They are insane. You know, when you see a strip center and you see empty spaces and you're thinking, why hasn't that leased yet? Why is there nobody there? I can tell you why. The people that run them are insane.
Yes.
They're crazy. They don't care what, you know, here's the deal. Here's another thing that it is a tax deal because a lot, if it's empty, they get to use that as a write-off too. Off the income they make off the other parts of the building.
I didn't know. Well, I guess that makes sense. I hadn't thought about it. But yeah.
So they can be a little crazy with their demands for leasing because, well, if you're gonna lease it and take away part of my tax write-off, well, I'm just not going to make it easy on you because you took away my write-off. So not only are we going to take a lot of money each month, which if I had signed the lease, would have cost me $127,000 over 3 years. Gone. Just the lease there. Just for the honor of sharing their property. And not to mention how much to fix it all up.
Yeah.
But in the lease, they actually said that I would be responsible for all the electrical for that part of the unit, just my part. If the electrical wiring or anything went wrong or the fuse box or anything, I was going to be paying for that. Now, this building, I think, is about 20 to 25 years old, and I don't know who did the wiring on it, so why am I responsible for that, including the fuse box? And I would have to, if the plumbing, if something happens to the plumbing, I'm in charge of that too. Now, buildings that sit vacant for a while and no water's running down the toilet, it's time for air to get into those lines and corrosion can set in. And I have no idea how long that's been sitting there. And now all of a sudden it starts flushing and all that stuff starts flowing down and it gets clogged up. It's on me. I'm the one responsible for it. And then the kicker was the AC. In their lease, they actually said I had to run the AC 24/7. It could not be turned off. I had to have a licensed AC person inspect that. Inspect it once a month. And if that AC went out, I get the pleasure of replacing it.
For a commercial building, which costs about...
Could cost $20,000, $30,000.
So over 3 years, you could have bought a house. Which you, these things that you're talking about, if you're buying a property, you are responsible for,
yeah.
But not if you're buying it for someone else. And
can
paying
you imagine,
them
exactly.
And paying them money.
How many
yeah.
people you think would lease one of my houses if I told them, okay, now, if anything happens, this plumbing, electrical, or that AC, it's on you.
It's your responsibility.
You're responsible for it.
Yeah.
How many you think would actually lease from me?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody would.
Well, I'm not leasing from them either. I'm not going to be any stupider than the people that lease from me. I mean, and then I hear, no, this is standard. Really?
I don't know a lot about
because,
commercial.
Because, you know, it has to
yeah.
do with real estate. In my mind, anything having to do with real estate is negotiable. And I don't care what your standard is.
Yeah.
Either you say that I'm not responsible for all of that, and I will change my own filters, and I'll have somebody come out every 6 months to check that AC.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything more than that. They said, put it in writing, we'll get back with you. I didn't even bother. So now we went out to Old Town Katy, we found a house out there, and it makes sense to buy a house, run our office out there, but now I got to wait until the city of Katy tells me it's okay to do that.
For commercial.
For
if
commercial,
yeah,
yeah. Because it's in a residential area. It's zoned residential, although in that area it's not an HOA, so there's no rules or regulations about running a business. And if I lived on the property, I could run a business in it. But since I'm not planning on living in it, but now after the taxes, I might. I may just buy it and just move into it and use the back room for the office.
It would work. It's a beautiful house.
It is a beautiful house, and I think it's going to – and I'm really excited about it. I made a verbal offer on it yesterday, just so nothing binding to either side, but this is what I'm willing to do. If the city says yes, they will allow us to go in and use it for a real estate office. And so we're not going to have a lot of traffic. We don't have,
yeah.
you know, it's not like we're selling retail out there or anything like that, although I could do an antique shop in there. And we actually talked about putting a barista at one kitchen. That would be really cool.
Well, that would be very cool.
And they don't have a coffee shop like that. You know, like our own version of it would be Imagine Coffee Shop. In the front of the house there, and that kitchen and everything, just turn that
yeah.
into a little coffee shop, and we'll just work in the back. You know, so, I mean, I got ideas. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But if that doesn't happen, when we're back on the lookout, so keep your eyes open.
Okay.
Anybody out there who has anything, we need about 3,000 square feet. And if you got anything, let me know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We got a call on this building last night. He's going to come look at it today.
Oh, really?
Okay. Cash buyer to close at the end of June. So that gives us 2 months, 2.5 months to find someplace.
No pressure.
No pressure. All right, we're gonna. We're almost ready for a break again. We'll take it early. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
Okay, we're back. Hey, you know what was on all day Saturday and all day Sunday? The whole series of Game of Thrones. Do you watch that?
I love it. Yes, it is. And it started again last night.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch the new one. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. After watching it, you know, because Saturday, after Norman left, I went home. I was off and on. We were watching. But we watched all Saturday night. And then I got up yesterday, and I wasn't really feeling all that hot yesterday. There's a stomach bug going around.
There is. My kids have had it.
And so I don't know where I got it, but hopefully it's gone now. Let's hope. So I turned the TV on about noon, and I just sat in my chair and sipped on hot beverages all afternoon and watched it again. It's like, I love that show. And then when the new one came on, it's like, an hour's not enough. I've been watching for the last 6 hours. I need more. I'm like addicted to that thing.
We're going to have to actually keep up this year.
Oh, man.
We usually do what you did. You know, we'll marathon it. But Game of Thrones has gotten so popular, you can't watch TV or go to your Facebook or something without somebody commenting on it. So now, if you don't keep up, you end up finding out what happens before you see it, and they don't follow the books exactly.
No, they don't.
So
because my daughter read the books, and she says, yeah, there's things happening that is not in the book,
mm-hmm.
and then there's stuff in the book that they're not showing. So yeah, but the little guy, and I can never remember his name.
Tyrion's Littlefinger. We call him Littlefinger.
No, not Littlefinger.
He's not Littlefinger anymore, but he was.
Littlefinger was the guy that ran the brothel. Littlefinger ran the brothel, and he kept the coins.
But then the other guy, he did end up keeping the coins in the second season, and then I just got stuck on calling him that. But we're talking about the same. He's won an Emmy for this.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love him. He's so sexy. I didn't think I'd ever go for somebody short, but that guy is plum sexy.
He's a great actor.
And I love him. Maybe it's the clothes. The clothes are so great. The way they dress him is so great. I just love that show.
Well, he's smarter than, why you like him so much is he's smarter than everybody else on the
exactly.
show.
Exactly. But people don't know that, and that's what's so good.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny because it's like the girls who are blonde, and they want you to think they're dumb, but they're really not dumb.
Right.
There was a girl in, years back in the 80s, I worked for an insurance company, and the president of the claims, his secretary, she tried real hard to do that dumb. I mean, she flipped her blonde hair, and it was just, in every bit, it was an act. And I just love to watch her in action, because she would just act as though she was just dumber than dirt because she was a blonde, and she kept her hair bleached really blonde just for that reason. Because if you really stop and think about it, if people don't expect much out of you, you don't have to do much. And people will say things around you that they probably shouldn't because they, oh, well, she's so dumb, it wouldn't make any difference. She won't understand what we're talking about.
Or she won't remember.
Genius. It is genius. If I could pull off blonde, I'd try that just for the fun of it. You know, just sit back and see. But that's, I think that's what they don't expect much out of him. So he is so intelligent.
Yeah.
But the guy, the bald-headed guy, I'm no good with the names, the bald-headed guy that is just a snake in the grass, he was the one that told the little guy's girlfriend that she should leave and that one day he would be king because he is the smartest person there. He gets it.
The others
don't get it.
No.
I'm talking about Game of Thrones. And it's just, I love this show. Now, the other thing that we've been watching, and we went back all the way to the start on Netflix and we're watching up to is the House of Cards Have you watched that?
I've heard that one's really good, but yeah, we
It's like modern day Game of Thrones. I mean, it really is, because he's a politician.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of difference between those people that were trying to be king and the ones that are trying to be president.
Right.
Not a whole lot of difference. And the scheming and stuff that goes
the
on.
Power.
And the murder. And the, it's good. It's real good. So if you get a chance, Netflix, you can go right from the start and watch it all the way up. And that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's another commitment, though. There's so much good TV on right now that it's crazy. Like, we're talking about watching Resurrection, and we haven't watched that one yet. Yeah.
I haven't done that one. I'm going to do that, on a rainy Sunday when I don't feel so good, I'll just watch them all.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time to watch TV all the time. We watch in the evenings. And this is what I'm discovering. The shows that are on HBO and I don't remember what channel the House of Cards comes on, but the ones that are on the non-commercial, non-mainstream, that can say and do anything they want, that can have the nudity and can have the dirty words and all that stuff, they actually, their plots and everything are so much better. Because they can take time, and they can take their time and do it and take, months to put together their series, whereas the others on TV, after you watch it for the first season, the second season, it's like the same thing over and over and over. We used to like Person of Interest. That's gotten really boring now. And then the only one that really, and they had to kill somebody else to make it exciting, was the Good Wife. That one's got my attention again. And she wasn't on last night. And I think, yay, she wasn't on because I had to watch the
Game of Thrones.
So, but Sunday night, but you know what's happened is that I've actually gotten more, where I watched more Bravo. I'd rather watch The Housewives than watch the mainstream TV because it's so boring.
Yeah.
In Housewives, at least you get to see somebody pull hair and yell at somebody over something stupid.
Well, have you watched Black Sails?
Black Sails. Oh, that's the
pirate
thing? I watched the first episode of that, and it didn't hook me. It did not hook
me. We ended up watching that one, and we really liked it. They only had 8 episodes. In their
eight.
First section, and now we're like, what?
Yeah, 8?
Because it turned out it really ramped up.
Did it?
Yeah, and it was like, 8? So I'm hoping it's just a break or something.
It's like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
I think Downton Abbey only had 8 or 9 this last night, or maybe they had 10. I don't know, but it went up
it was
too quick.
Yeah.
Because I love Downton Abbey, too. I know. I don't. I say I don't watch much TV, but I actually do. So from 7 to 9:30 every night, I get to watch TV.
Yeah. Well, Sundays are just catch up day. Usually, we have marathons on Sunday, just trying to catch up with the shows we actually do pay attention to. So.
Yeah, exactly right.
On demand was the key to that.
I like on demand, and then there's the other. You can go back onto on demand, and you can come back and watch the other shows. But the sad part about when you do watch regular TV, you can't fast forward through the commercials.
That's the only reason to do that. Yeah.
So I actually record the ones now, so I can go through the commercials. Because I don't want to watch the commercials.
No, we do that too, but we forget to do all of the shows we want to see. So half of them have no commercials, and half of them have it. So.
And then I go to watch something because how can I be at 88% full when I haven't recorded anything? And I go back and I got WWF on there, and because my grandson's come home, it's like going, oh, well, I don't have time to watch this list because I got to go to work. We'll tape it, and it's like, oh my God, who tapes this stuff?
Right. And they don't choose only new. That's the kicker in our house. We have 3 kids that will record things. And if you don't click only new, you've got the same episode of Strawberry Shortcake like 5 times.
Yeah, I set it up one time to do Oprah. No, Ellen. I was taping the Ellens, and it just filled up, and I didn't have time to go back and watch all of them.
Yeah.
But I think you can go. Can you go back and watch Ellen on demand?
I don't know. I haven't tried that one.
Oh, and I got so crushed, they're not bringing Bethany back.
Oh, they're not?
No, she's not coming back. She was on Andy the other night, last week, and they didn't renew her contract, and she was happy with that because she's got so much going on with the selling all that liquor. She's got a lot of that skinny girl going on now. Yeah, skinny girl's good stuff. So she said she's not upset at all that she's not coming back on.
Huh.
So, but I missed the Bethany show. I learned a lot from her.
I never actually watched it.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't, not her TV show, but the Bethany with, on Bravo when Bethany gets married. Because you know what? It showed me that it doesn't make a difference how screwed up you are. You could still succeed if you think you're going to. But she just never doubted that she would. And she's pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
So I she was my idol. If Bethany can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And she was a lot of women's idols. So I miss her. And she needs to have her own show again. I'm going to tell Andy. I'm going to call Andy up on Bravo. Andy, give Bethany another show. Because I need that.
Well, they can
constant reinforcement that I'm okay.
I don't know the skinny girl thing you're talking about, but why don't they follow her doing that then?
They were for a while, and then she got her own show, and so they stopped. Uh-huh. They need to go back. And her husband were having problems, and they did get divorced. And she left it all out there for everybody. She didn't hide nothing. That's why, you know, those are New York girls.
Yeah.
They don't hide anything. They're not ashamed of anything. They put it out there. I don't care. I maybe in a former life I was from New York.
Maybe so.
Yeah,
I don't know either, but reality, it's a challenge in what we do, too, trying to keep up with all this reality stuff. You know, you have to do Facebook and Twitter and oh, my gosh.
The social media.
The social
mm-hmm.
media, like you're talking about, that's how she became successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was all out there, and trying to learn to be all out there when you're not all out there normally, it's been an experience.
I know. Can you imagine down here in you know, here in Texas, you can't expose everything that you are to you wouldn't have no business,
right?
Because the ones who agree with you would be afraid to be seen with you, simply because the ones who don't agree with you say uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, that's nice, darling, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we can't do it. I need to move to New York. I like New Yorkers.
Uh-huh.
I like New Yorkers. I like the way that they think. I like the way that they just say it. And if you don't like it, well, we don't care. I don't care if you don't like it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I like that attitude.
Well, and a lot of people down here used to have it, but like you said, then it becomes groupish. You know,
yeah.
Segregated.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard to do business, especially when you're in a business like ours where we're supposed to do business with everybody, regardless.
And you have to be nice all the time.
Yeah.
You ever watch those millionaire real estate agents up there? And I think I mentioned this last week, that the millionaire real estate agents that are up there, and they it's on Bravo, and they do them in California, they do it in L.A., I mean in New York City. I want them to come down here and do it down here. We're the $100,000 real estate agents.
Yeah, exactly.
Real estate agents. Because the thing that they do up there is they don't do things in New York City. You know, like the Pace commercial?
Uh-huh.
He's from New York City. They don't do things in New York City the way we do it down here.
Right.
There's no MLS in New York City. You know that?
No.
So they don't have...
I just assumed they didn't do it the same way.
They don't have MLS. So they really do. And they show those old broker open houses, and there's hundreds of people at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only way they're going to know about it.
Oh.
See, we do a broker open house. We show up, three people show up because they can go to the MLS and find it.
Right.
If they're looking for something for their client, they just go to the MLS and they pull up everything that's available. But when they do it from Adela just put in so that we could wear boots and cowboy hats. Yeah, because that would be the way we dress already. Yeah, but yeah, we could do that.
Well, they all think we have horses.
Well, that's what they would do
if they put
a.
We would have to have the 10 gallon hats.
But if it was being done in Dallas, they'd have to wear high heels and bouffanted hair up.
Oh yeah,
about
your hair
a foot
has
above.
To be big and long.
Yeah, just like
I've always wanted big hair like that.
I can do that for you.
Yeah.
All it takes is
some curls.
It's called ratting and spraying.
Yeah.
We just rat it
yeah.
up and spray it. use some electric curlers on you, and I can fix you up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you do the curls the night before when you get out, when you do the little pinwheels and with the bobby
pin. Curls, yeah.
Yeah, the pin
yeah,
curls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's break time again. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. Call us.
But no, they have no version of the MLS.
No, none.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
Okay, now we're back. So we Googled what it took to be a licensed real estate broker in New York City. And now let me tell you, in Texas, it takes 210 hours to be a licensed real estate agent. You got 60 hours the next year. You got 30 hours the next year. And there's 15 hours every 2 years after that. People don't know that Texas has the hardest regulations and requirements to keep your license of any state. We're the toughest, so therefore we are the best. In order to be a broker in the state of Texas, you have to have 900 hours.
Wow.
Now, you can get credit for college. I think I want to say it's like 500, maybe 400 to 500 hours credit for college, but you still have to complete a lot of hours in order to get your broker's license. And you have to be licensed for 5 years. In New York, you have to have 75 hours to be a salesperson or an agent, 120 hours to be a broker. We have to have almost twice as many hours just to be an agent here in Texas as they have to be a broker. So when they're saying they're all brokers, doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to me. And they always say that, I'm a real estate broker. Now, did you know there's a book out there that says that real estate for idiots?
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, when it first starts out, it tells you that you do not work with anybody that's not a broker. I think they're talking about New Yorkers. Because if they're saying don't work with anybody that's not a broker, and you got somebody that can get their license for 75 hours, so a broker for 120, but yet if you're in Texas, an agent has to have 210 hours, which is, you know, almost twice as much as a broker. An agent in Texas is better than any broker in any state.
Well, and as an agent, once you get your license, don't we have to work under a broker for two years before we can even go out on our own?
Five. You can't be...
No, I knew you couldn't be a broker for five, but I thought we had to have a broker for two.
No.
Almost like an internship. But I could have it backwards. It's been a while since I read it.
No, you have to do that. That's for appraisers have to have internships.
Yeah, they don't call it an internship, but I meant almost.
Yeah.
You know,
a broker has to hold your license.
Right.
So you can't be your own broker for 5 years. So basically, you're tied to somebody else for five years.
Okay.
It used to be 2 years. Now it's five. They raised the regulations to be a broker.
Okay.
Now you can be a broker and not be a broker of record, and you can hold your own, have your own real estate brokerage without being a broker. So, like, if you decided you wanted to be your own broker, I mean, you wanted to own your own brokerage. You don't want to work under somebody else, which is what I did when I started this brokerage. I got tired of telling somebody else tell me what to do and taking my money. And especially when I think I know it all anyway. And so I didn't have my broker's license yet, but I had about 600 hours in, and so I was still working on it because I had to get my full 900 hours. And so I called my girlfriend in Austin, who is a broker, and I said, I need you to be my broker of record. And I started Imagine Realty International as the owner, but not the broker. So I in turn paid her a small fee, and we worked out a deal, and she was the broker of record. Now, if I had screwed up during that time, she'd be the one accountable. because the broker record is accountable for anything that happens in the brokerage.
Right.
So she took a leap of faith that I wasn't going to screw up. And so,
but
so,
you had over 600 hours, which is 3 times what they're asking for in New York for you even.
Right.
Right. So,
and,
yeah.
And some, most of the brokerages in Oklahoma, I mean in New York, that you have to be a broker to even work there. You're not going to hire a regular agent because the 75 hours is not enough for you to know what you need to do.
Right.
And the way they do things there is so totally different too, because because they don't have an MLS, you've got to do a lot of networking, and they put a lot of time and effort into their job, but it's not the same as what we do down here. I mean, our market is so totally different, and the way we do real estate is so totally different. I could go probably take a test and be a licensed broker in New York City, and there's no way I could sell anything up there, because the way they do everything is so totally different that I would be like me trying to, it's like someone who's doing residential and trying to sell a commercial property.
Right.
You know, a big warehouse or something. You don't know enough about it to know how to do it because that's not what you do on a regular basis. So, but it's funny whenever they come down here and they think, oh, yeah, we'll have a broker open house and, you know, we'll get everybody in and nobody shows up.
It's all online. Why would they leave their office?
But the sad part about it is the market, people who watch it, I mean, Bravo has a huge audience all across the country, and they watch these shows, and they think that's the way it's done. So when you get a listing, the first thing your seller says is, I want a broker open house. I want to see 200 people walking through here drinking champagne and eating cheese.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, we can do one.
But it's not going to happen.
If we get 3 or 4 people to show up, don't be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it is down here. They don't need to because they've got the MLS to go look at.
Well, and we have that conversation with people we're walking houses to with, too, because they all watch HGTV,
mm-hmm.
and they all think it's like Property Brothers, or it's all like,
yeah,
you know,
how much
flip
you,
my property.
What is it gonna, how are you going to fix this house for me?
Right. It is, what?
Yeah.
No. They're in California.
I would like to do Property Brothers. I would like to do that. I would like to do something like that. But you buy the house, I'll fix it up.
Yeah.
Give me $80,000.
No, they have a sweet deal with the twins going on. You know, I mean, one fixes it and one sells it. Yeah, but it's not reality. I know it's reality TV, but it's not our reality and our market. It's just not.
No.
So it's a matter of getting people to understand that, but don't do it every day.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah, it is reality TV and all of the HGTV and all these different how-tos have been really good in opening up people's eyes as to what they can do on their own. Mm-hmm. But, and they also have reinforced, a lot of those have reinforced why you need a professional to help you. Because how many times have you gone into a house and you look at it and it's going, oh, they've been watching HGTV. They got big diamonds on the walls in the dining room. They've got wallpaper on the ceiling in the bathroom. It's, okay. How are we going to fix this in order to sell it?
Everybody didn't like that episode.
Yeah. But you know, how about the one when they used to do that when the neighbors switched houses?
Oh yeah.
What was that one called?
But I watched that one.
The little gray haired guy, he lives here.
He lives there in Katy.
And but the one girl that was on there, and actually spun off and got her own show for a while. I don't watch a lot of HGTV anymore, so I don't know if she's still on the air. But she did one house, and I literally thought I couldn't breathe because she covered a whole wall in Spanish moss. Now, have you been around Spanish moss? It's full of mold. I mean, literally full of mold. And I was watching it and couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Because I used to do floral arrangements, and you pull that out of a bag, it's like,
yeah, you see all the little particles come out.
Yeah. And she covered a whole wall in that.
Ugh.
I can't, with hot glue. I can't even imagine how horrible that was to smell and then how bad it was to try to get off.
Well, and you could never do that down here where our air is too moist. Mm-hmm. The humidity, yeah, like you said, you would never get that.
No, that had to be in Arizona or someplace.
Yeah, somewhere dry.
No humidity.
I know. We got to see our faces. It was probably, you know, pretty to look at, but no.
It wasn't. They sometimes I think they did a lot for shock value, too.
Yeah.
But I love watching those shows, you know. My favorite was... my mind's gone completely blank. The little guy that would take that, he did everything on a budget, but decorating on the budget. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't remember.
He had a cute little Fu Manchu mustache beard thing.
Designed on a dime?
No, it wasn't designed on this. Long before that.
Kind of show.
Long before designed. He was one of the first to have his own show. And oh, gosh, I can see his face, and his name's not even his real name.
But what did he do?
He'll come to me after the show. he would go in and he did really, really cool stuff. Like you could take a one of my favorites was to take a cardboard tube and then take a plaster and or caulking and make a design with caulking on that, and then you paint it and then you glaze over that so it looked like vines growing up it and stuff. He did really cute. He used pastry bag to make leaves, so it made the leaves coming out, but it was caulking. So when it dried, it was hard, and you could paint over. It was like a plaster, but it was beautiful. But he would do silly things like that, like take a clear like PVC and paint it and put little Christmas lights inside it so these different lights came out of it, you know, and make a lamp out of it. I mean, he was always doing creative stuff like that. And I can't remember what his name was now, and it's driving me crazy. But he was an artist, and so it wasn't just doing decorating. It was that, you know, your room is your palette, you know, and he would create something that, and stuff that you would never think of. Like, it's killing me. This is killing me. I'll post it on Facebook here in a little bit because I'll look it back up.
Everybody to watch that and then just do the neutral tones.
And that's what he did. He would show you. He would actually do like three rooms exactly decorate, you know, take three separate rooms or take three visions of a room and decorate completely different with different colors to show you how you could get the different feel out of the same room, same window, everything's the same, but using different furniture, different design of and colors and different window treatments, how you get three totally different looks and do it on a budget.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But we walked through some of these houses, like you said, and they watched HT. There was this one house that we showed, and they're just going to, even in this market, they're going to have a hard time selling it because the people that moved out liked the antique kind of Victorian look, but it didn't match the outside of the house.
Oh.
And then the son, for a business, and it's not that his work wasn't beautiful, but he made stained glass, different kinds of things. So there was mismatched, meaning as in theme, stained glass everywhere. Like he had this beautiful flower.
It?
Yeah, and they left it. And they left the floral one like above the front door, which was fine. But then you walk in and the wet bar was immediately to the right and there were giant toucans. And then you walk.
Where do they sell those to me? I could hang them out in my pavilion.
You could. And then you walked into the kitchen and it had like the imitation, the chandelier was the imitation of what used to be the gas lamps. And it was pink glass. But the carpets were like this dark brown. I mean, you can tell where they were kind of going for something in this, but the Victorian didn't match the stained glass, that didn't match the carpet, that didn't match the really weird tile floor next to it that had a pattern, is why I say it was weird. And you're having to walk other people through this house, and they don't have your same taste.
No.
Whereas if they had just gone in and removed the stained glass and removed that chandelier and gone to Home Depot and bought one for $50, or something, and put it in the kitchen that's just plain.
And what is the outside of the house?
You would have seen something completely different. The outside of the house, it was built in the late 70s. So it kind of has, yeah, it was traditional, but it had the sharp angles.
Oh, so it was a contemporary house, and they tried to give it a Victorian feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was traditional, as in it was like a three-bedroom, two-bath, but it wasn't a ranch style.
But if it had shed roof,
yeah,
shed
it had city, this.
Yeah, that's a contemporary style. Oh, man.
And so nothing flowed, you know, whereas if you're going to sell your house, just go in and you can buy this or that would help the flow.
Now, if you were the selling agent and talking to the seller, what you're saying makes perfect sense to say that, you know, that just let's make it a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
But you know what popped into my head when you're doing all these different, I'm thinking that have you ever taken your TV, the channel thingy, and changed channels, like, or have somebody changing channels like every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And you have all this different stuff and your mind just goes, like, you finally just say, stop!
Yes, it's
you know?
Exactly that. That was
the
house.
Yeah, because you had all these different things going on at the same time. It doesn't get right. Flow is to keep your mind open. But when you're doing all that, your mind just shuts down.
You get stuck on, you know, the heavy velvet
carpet. I want to go see this house.
I'll pull it up for you on the MLS, because I'm sure it's still there, even in this market.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
You know, the location.
We'll find out. I want to buy those toucan mirrors. I want the toucans, because I can frame those up and hang them out in the pavilion. Because we have a bird theme going out there.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, it's a Jimmy Buffett. We've got, you know, parrots.
It's totally a parrot head. I saw parrot head when I saw that.
Yeah, we're parrot heads. So, and we've got parrots going all over out there. So add a couple of toucans, okay.
I think, well, you may see the flowers. I don't think the toucans were on the MLS, but I can show you.
Yeah, I don't want the flowers. All right. Oh, you know what? Time's up. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.